First Chronicles, you'll find it right after First and Second Kings. And right before Second Chronicles, of course, and that's what right in there, one of the historical books. As today we come to the end of our series on the life of David. We've been following his life as God called him from a boy. When we first met him in the shepherd field taking care of his father's sheep, when God sent Samuel the prophet to anoint him to be the future king of Israel after rejecting Saul, and we had seen him and all that he had gone through the good and the hard times of his life, through the many good times of his life. And today we come to the end. After 70 years of serving God, after 40 years of reigning as king, and he comes to the final words and final instructions that he left to those to follow him. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. David summoned all the officials of Israel to assemble at Jerusalem. The officers over the tribes, the commanders of the divisions in the service of the king, of the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, and all the officials in charge of all the property and livestock belonging to the kings and his sons, together with the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the brave warriors. King David rose to his feet and he said, "Listen to me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place for a rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build it. But God said to me, 'You are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and have shed blood.' Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me for my whole family to be king over Israel forever. He chose Judah as leader, and from the house of Judah he chose my family. From my father's sons he was pleased to make me king over Israel. Of all my sons, and the Lord has given me many, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, 'Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he is unswerving in carrying out my commands and laws as is being done at this time. So now I charge you in the sight of all Israel and all the assembly of the Lord and in the hearing of our God. Be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the Lord your Father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work." Here is reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word, for its truth, for the privilege of gathering together this morning. And Lord, we've come together this morning to worship you, to meet with you, to hear a word from you today. For the bread of life is our food. The water of life is our drink and our sustenance. And through your word, Lord, you strengthen us, you nourish us, you guide and direct us. So, Lord, again, through your word, feed us this morning, your word, which is eternal. And, Lord, your spirit, it knows us so well. So, Lord, you know every one of our hearts. You know every one of our needs and burdens that we had when we came into your presence this morning. And so, Father, through your word today, I pray that you would speak to each one of us, that when we leave here, we will know that we've heard from you and had a word from the Lord today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. When we begin a race, sometimes at the beginning of a race, we're all full of energy and we can run with a lot of power. We can run with a lot of fullness as we begin a race. But as we're running on, especially if it's a marathon, and I can admit this, I can only go a little bit. Now, Sandy and George, they can go for miles on their bike and it doesn't seem to bother them. But as the farther we go, sometimes it gets harder to finish because of the obstacles we face. Because of running out of energy, because of getting exhausted, because of all that we endure. But you know, it's not finishing the race, and how we finish the race is often more important than how we begin it. And David was a man who finished his race well. Yes, as he ran through his life, he had a lot of challenges. He had a lot of ups. He had a lot of joys in his life, and he had a lot of downs, as we had seen. We had those times of great failure, but he had times of great victory. But yet, at the end of his life, as he looked back, 70 years of age now, he knew that he was ready to meet the Lord with no regrets because he had finished well. And God calls you and I in this race as a Christian and the Christian life and marathon we're running to run it faithfully every day until he calls us home and our work on this life is complete. And we can finish the race well, that just like Paul, we're able to say, I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. And we cross that line and we hear God say, well done. Isn't that what you're living for? And that's what I'm living for, to hear those words. David, knowing that his time was soon complete and what God had given to do, 7 years of age, he calls all his officials, all his officers, everyone who had served him, all his sons, to give them together, to give them one last word of instruction. Now, if you knew and you had your final words that you wanted to impart to your family and to those who are important to you, what final words would you want them to remember? What would you want them, when you're gone, to remember that you had said? Often when people know that they're ready to pass, they often have final words of instruction they want to share that's important to pass on. And David knew that time was getting close. So he gathered them together to give his final challenge and his final charge. And in this charge, we've had two instructions or two things with principles we can learn on how to continue to finish well, just like David did, and from his example and his life. And if you and I want to finish well what God's called us to do, just like David, we need to focus on the God's eternal perspective. And where our focus is helps us to run the race. Paul said, I focus on the prize for which is ahead of me, and I run with all perseverance the race that is laid out before me. The writer of Hebrews says, fix our eyes on Jesus, because we know we're going to have hardships in this life, but fix our eyes on Jesus and run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. And for each one of us, that race may be, course may be marked out differently, but yet God marks it out personally for you and I, and focus on his eternal purpose. Because what we focus on is what we are going to concentrate on. And David had his eye focused on what was really important, and that was the eternal purpose of God. God has a purpose for you and I. And his eternal purpose, first, is for us to know him and to love him and to serve him faithfully. And David did that. And focusing on his purpose gives us fulfillment. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13, verse 36. And here we have a comment about David in the New Testament. And it comes from a sermon from Paul. As Paul was preaching and talking about Jesus, in the midst of that, verse 36 of chapter 13, he said, for when David had served or fulfilled or completed God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and he was buried with his fathers. And Paul said that David fulfilled God's purpose in his generation. Just as we, you and I, are called to fulfill God's purpose for us in our generation and in our time, and to complete what God's called us to do. And what is it that God has given you? Well, he's given you the purpose to love him. He's given you the purpose to that your family and friends that don't know him, that they would see Jesus in you. Part of our purpose of why he has brought us, why he has left us on the earth, is so that Jesus can be seen in us, so that others can come to know him too. And having that eternal perspective and fulfilling what God has called us to do. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, said, it is finished, it is completed. What God has called me to do is done. When David completed all that God had laid for him to do, his journey was completed. And fulfilling God's purpose in our life brings that, but it also brings contentment. Notice in verses 2 and 3, David rose to his feet and he said, listen to me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of the Ark of the Covenant. I had plans to make it. And David had a heart's desire that he wanted to build the temple of the Lord. And that was a fulfillment that he wanted to do. He felt God had called him to do that, and he had the desire to do it. But yet God said, David, you're not to be the one. That's not my purpose. That's not my will for you. It's my will for your son, but not for you. But because David was focused on God's perspective, he was okay with that. And he was contented because he knew that God's purpose for him was good. And sometimes we have desire in our heart of what we would like to see, but it doesn't happen. Or we're praying for God maybe to heal somebody and it doesn't occur the way we think it should. But when we focus on God's perspective, it brings us contentment. That just like David, we can say, you know, it's good. God's good. And I trust him. And I'm content with that. Paul said, I've learned to be content whatever situation I'm in, whether well-fed or whether hungry. I'm content. I'm thankful because God is good always, right? In all things, God is good. And when we focus on his perspective, we'll be content. We won't become discouraged. We won't become heartbroken. But David went to the grave with contentment and thanks for giving to God that I've completed all that he's called me to do. It also brings acceptance. And he said, yet I wanted to build this temple for the Lord, but God said, no, you're not to be the one. So he said in verses 4, yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me for my whole family to be king. He said, he chose the house of Judah, and out of Judah, he chose my family, and out of my family, he chose me. And he said, and he's given me many sons, he's given many blessings, and he's made one of my own sons to be a king, to be heir after me. And he focused on all that God had done for him. And he said, you know, I may not be able to fulfill, I have this desire to build the temple of God. It's not going to happen, but God has given me so much more. And he was accepting of what God had done, and he focused on the many blessings that God had given him. Often Satan will try to discourage us by making us focus on the things we don't have or we feel we're missing out on instead of the many blessings that God has given us. And David did die with that frustration of that desire of not being able to complete the temple of God. We read later on in this chapter that he provided everything, all the plans, everything he needed. And he gave it to Solomon. He said, here's everything you need to do the work, complete what God's given in my heart to fulfill. And even though he died with that desire of not ever seeing the house of God completed, he accepted what God had given him. And because he focused on the goodness. David lived and died with that frustrated desire, but his response of acceptance, and he didn't resent it. He didn't resent what God, what he was not able to do. We all have things in our life that we maybe wish had been different, or something that we wished we could have completed and we never did, or we say, why, God, didn't you allow this to happen in our life? And one of the things, and I never shared this before, but as I was working on this sermon in these days, this thought came to me as I was thinking of David's desire here and wanting to see the temple of God, and God said no. We have things in our life we say, Lord, why didn't you ever allow? And Kim and I, when we were down at Billy Graham and down there at the conference, often one of the first questions that people meet with you and you're talking for the first time, is somebody you don't know, is do you have any children? Or how many children do you have? And that's usually one of the first questions you always get. And you know, and I had that frustrated desire that I wish too God would have blessed us with children. That never happened. But you know, through that, God has given us so many good things. And we've come to that point of acceptance. And we come to the point of God has brought so many children into our life, like Eli and others that we can minister to. And he's able to use that in a good way. And we come to that point of acceptance. What is it in your life that maybe has never happened that you wish would have, but yet God has a purpose and a plan? And we come to that point of acceptance when we focus on his perspective instead of our own. When we focus on our own perspective, that's when we're going to get down That's when we're going to get discouraged and resent. Why, God, did you hold out on me? But David went to the grave with no resentment, even though the greatest desire that he had was not fulfilled, because God's perspective was greater. And it brings us to that point. And it also brings us to the point of commitment. Verse 8, David said then, so now I charge you, I charge you, my last words in the sight of all Israel, do the work, possess this good land, follow God, all of his commands of the Lord your God, that you may possess this land as inheritance of your descendants forever. And David was reminding them of what God had said earlier through Moses. When God had brought them into the land of Israel, he said, if you're faithful and you follow my word, I will bless you. You will remain in this land. But if you disobey my word, I will bring judgment and take you from this land. And he is reminding them, follow God, keep your commitment, keep your perspective where it needs to be, and focus on him and follow him wholeheartedly. Finishing well occurs when we focus on God's eternal perspective, and what we focus on is what we're going to chase after. David had that eternal perspective even to the very end. And we finish well as well, secondly, when we pass on what really matters. Now, David was a king. God had blessed him with a lot of great riches, a lot of great wealth. But what he was concerned with wasn't really passing on to Solomon riches, wealth, power, position. Even though all those came to him, and we know about Solomon that he became the richest king of all of Israel, the wisest, God had blessed him. But that really wasn't what David was concerned about. David's concern to him was that Solomon would be faithful to God. And his parents and his grandparents, the greatest charge God has given you is to pass on to your children, your grandchildren, faith in the Lord. Yes, you can leave wealth, but more importantly than that is to leave the faith of Jesus. Ronald Reagan once made a statement that freedom is only one generation away from extinction. But you know, I believe that with the church, that the Christian faith is only one generation away from extinction. If we don't pass the faith on to the generations behind us, what's going to happen to the church? And keeping the most important thing to pass on is that faith. And notice what the focus then as he talks to Solomon in verse 9. He first addressed the crowd, then he turned to Solomon particularly. He said, and now you, my son Solomon, I have words for you. Acknowledge the Lord your God, the God of your father, and serve him with wholehearted devotion, with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart. David understood that well, and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now that the Lord has chosen you to build the temple, be strong, and do the work. Pass on what really matters. And Solomon, he said, I want you to know God. The most important thing as parents and grandparents you can pass on to your children, your generations behind you, is that they know who God is. That they not only know who he is, but they know him personally and have that relationship with Christ. And as parents, it is your responsibility to see that your children come to know Jesus, to know the faith, and to have that instructed in them. He said, acknowledge God. That word acknowledge means to know who he is, to put our faith and trust in him. The greatest legacy is passing on your faith to the next generation. Billy Graham once said that the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things, but rather a legacy of character and faith. And that's what David was concerned about, that Solomon would know God personally, would know him, and pass that on. When we were at the Ark at the conference, one of the speakers that was there was Kim Collingsworth's brother, who's a pastor, and he spoke on the worldview and passing on a biblical worldview to the generations behind us. I just want to share a couple things that he mentioned of why it's so important that we need to pass the faith on to the younger generation. Because our kids in school today are being taught things that you and I were not taught. Things have changed, and they're learning things now that would have never been taught in school. And some of the lies that they're being taught is that the Bible is old and it's out of date and can't be trusted. They're also taught that you can't believe in both Bible and science. They contradict each other. And that sex outside of marriage is okay and it's even expected. And that homosexuality is good and normal, they're being taught. We see that everywhere. And that your gender is fluid and may change. Isn't that a big one that's being pushed? And these are just some of the lies that are being taught out there that if we don't teach the truth and pass on to our generations behind us the truth of the Word of God, what's going to happen? One example of one generation that they commented on is the generation of Derek, and that's the millennials. The millennial generation, those which is the largest generation coming up behind us. And of that generation, 76% of them don't attend church. It's the most secular generation that we've ever seen. 80% declare that they are not born again or even have a relationship with Christ. 94% deny belief in one of the cardinal doctrines of Christianity. 60 to 70% of them support same-sex marriage, and only 4% have a biblical worldview. That's the generation coming up behind us, and unfortunately, that's the generation taking control of our country. And if we don't pass the faith on to those behind us, what's going to happen? David was concerned about that, and he said, I want you, Solomon, make sure you acknowledge God and know it as grandchildren. Pass that faith. Make sure you take those opportunities with your grandchildren that they know who Jesus is. Knowing God, he also said to serve him as well. He said, verse 9, he said, Solomon, acknowledge the Lord and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. Serve him with all of your passion. Training your children and grandchildren, they would serve God as you set the example of what it means to serve. And to seek God, he said, seek him. And when we seek him, he will be found by you. Teach your grandchildren the importance of what it means to seek God. To seek him through his word, to seek him through prayer, to seek him and have that heart's desire for him. It's the greatest thing you can pass on to those behind you. And to trust God. In verse 20, David said to Solomon, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until the work is completed and finished. He said, trust God. He won't forsake you. He'll be with you all the way to the end. And teach your grandchildren what it means to trust God from your own example. Give them lives of how, and you trusted God, how he's been faithful to you. And let them see that faith in you and pass it on. It's important. And David said, that's how we finish well. I want my children, my grandchildren, to know God and to honor him. In chapter 29, as we go on to verses 11 to 15, I just highlight that. David praised God in this psalm of praise, his final praise, final psalm. He praised God for all that he had. And he said, I know that everything I have comes from your hand. And I acknowledge you, he said in verse 12, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things, and your hands are strength and power to exalt. And David knew, even though he was king, that all he had in his power, it all came from Christ. And he gave him the honor. And teach your children and family what it means to honor God first. To honor God with our wealth, with what we have, with our time, with our talents, with our treasure, with our entire being. And give him honor and glory. And pass on what it means to follow God and to trust him. In verses 18 to 19, that same chapter, he said, O Lord God, he had a prayer. He said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you and give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. And David's prayer was that Solomon and the people would follow God and his word and his ways. That's his desire for us, but it's also what we need to pass on to those behind us. That those behind us would find us faithful and that they too would follow the same God that we follow. That they would follow his word and his truth and live by it. David lived well. He had seen and gone through much, but he was a man after God's own heart because his heart was after God. And we've learned from him through the many challenges and the many joys of life how to have that heart and then after God. But finish well. Keep our eye focused on that eternal perspective and pass on what's really important, and that is the faith and the love of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life of David, a man, Lord, who you used immensely to reach and to build the nation of Israel, and through whom eventually Jesus, our Savior, came. And more is said about David than any other person other than you in the Scripture. And Lord, he was a man who you used powerfully, but he's just like us. He had a lot of his struggles. He struggled with sin. He struggled with discouragement. He struggled with so many challenges that we do. But yet, you used him because his heart was knit fast to you. And Lord, I pray that just like him, we would finish strong and finish well the work you've called us to do. That we keep our eyes focused on that eternal perspective, on what you've called us to do, and not get distracted by other things. And then we pass on the faith, what's really important to those behind us. A love for you, a love for your word, a heart to seek and know you and to follow and be faithful to you. Father, I pray for every parent, every grandparent, every great-grandparent here. Father, I pray that you will guide and direct them and give them the wisdom on how they can be that influence to their generations behind them, that their grandchildren can see you in them and they can instill and pass on that faith, which is so vitally important to the next generations behind us. And Father, we thank you for every day that you give us and for calling us to yourself. Lord, knit our hearts after you, just like David did, that we too can be men and women of God serving you in our generation until you call us home. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close this morning, our closing hymn is number 477, 477, a hymn, a challenge to all of us that we need to pass the faith on, 477. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Pass on the faith to those behind us. Let's stand and sing.